with that, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7, and we're going to take a look at the actual verses at hand there. Romans chapter 7, and let's come to verse 1. Paul says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Now, the reason why I chose to, again, do the study here, this checkpoint here, is because we have to fully know how we can bring forth fruit unto God, because when we walk accordingly and we learn how to be led by the Spirit, as we're going to see, that's how you're going to bring forth fruit unto God. But later on, you're going to be told about some sufferings there, and that you're going to be taking on the sufferings of this present time, that we all can't avoid the sufferings of this present time, but we have to change our way of thinking about the sufferings of this present time. That's when you begin to bring forth much fruit. When you tend to have that mind of Christ. And again, but we have to know what God's will is. Now, in saying all this here, like I said before, we're going to go over some specific doctrines. And, you know, just as Paul said over there to the Corinthians, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, when he said, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." And in a similar sense, I'm not saying these things to shame anyone to look down upon another saint or anything like that. That's not what I'm doing here. But the idea is that I wouldn't be doing my job if I was to hear some things being said about God's word amongst my brethren and sisters and not give them the corrective doctrine, not give them the corrective doctrine of reproof, correction, exhortation, because that's what God's word is for, and it's for building each other up. And again, you know, I've already received some emails and texts on the issue and things of that matter, and I'm glad people are looking at the subject here. And with that, let's get ourselves underway. Let's get ourselves underway with the subject at hand. Let's start off with the issue of what the subjects are, things that I've heard. I've heard people say things like, "God gave me this," or "God put on my heart to say this," or "God had me to preach this," or "God told me to tell you this." Okay. Then there's another. We're going to go through each one of them. Another one. Some people, they'll say, "Well, let's do this as the Holy Spirit guides us," or a certain thing. "I'm going to ask the Spirit for enlightenment," or. And some of these things, and like again, I'm going to go through some of these things here, because just take that one, for instance, asking the Spirit for enlightenment. Well, it depends on how you mean it, because when we're looking at God's word, we can always pray that we receive more enlightenment of his scriptures, that we grow more. And if it's done in that sense, there's perfectly nothing wrong with a prayer like that or saying something like that. But if it's being said in the sense of we're going to, as if the third member of the Godhead is going to give us a actual gift of knowledge, and then we say, whoa, look what the Spirit just showed us. And I've seen some, I've talked with people, I've seen people, they actually would leave their Bible closed, they open it up, close their eyes, and they point at a particular point in the Bible and say, oh, look what God just showed me. But, I mean, you can't do that. That's not how God's Word works. Because if that's the fact, what if you open your Bible and you close your eyes and you place it to a point and it says, and Judas went out and hung himself. Then you look at that and say, whoa, and you turn a couple pages or whatever, put your finger down there, and it says, what thou doest, do it quickly. Then what do you do with that? You just keep on playing Bible roulette with the scriptures? But see, that's not how God's Word works. God revealed His Word to us 2,000 years ago, well, and beyond that, but the last man He spoke to was 2,000 years ago. And we're going to see all that stuff. But again, there's other things I've heard. Have a blessed day, or as the Spirit gives us utterance, or someone sneezes, they say, God bless you, like as if, you know, God calls them to live on after they sneeze or whatever the situation is. I've heard, give as God has prospered you. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians 16, and we're going to look at that. But that's not what it's saying. It's not saying, we're going to go through that. The issue of having traveling grace, like if you're traveling, that God's going to guide your path where you'll be safe and things of that nature. If someone's sick, when you say pray for them, what do you mean? Do you pray that they're healed, that they become healthy, that they don't have that situation that they're in anymore, on physically? Well, we know the outward man perish, the inward man is to be renewed day by day. Or there's many others that we're going to go through, and but let's get started here. Let's get started. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at a very crucial, very, very crucial scripture here, which pretty much sums it all up, because people that say certain things like this, or there's another one. Some people say, well, by the grace of God, this happened for me, or by God's grace, this will happen, or by the grace of God, we made it safe, or we're blessed because we have a beautiful life, beautiful family, or health, or job, wealth, things of that nature. And most of this that I just said is because of failure to understand Romans chapter 12 and the whole issue of the body, and that God's not preferring one saint over the other saint. And God's not preferring, He's not singling His whole life, His whole eternity will, plan and purpose around you. At any time, you're just a piece of the puzzle. And a lot of people look at God as being a genie, where they feel that God's their servant, not that they're a God's servant. And they feel that just as long as they walk accordingly and things of that nature, that they have the right to ask God things, and He's going to, and he provided for them. Now, we know that how we're supposed to do with prayer. Prayer is something very essential. It's to let God know, which God already knows our hearts. He searches our hearts. But it's to allow Him to understand just how we are progressing in His curriculum, with what we've been learning and what we're not learning. But let's go here to the verses at hand here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then Paul goes on and he talks about the body issue. He talks about the issue of the gift and things of that nature. And it's talking about what each one of us can do as we do our part for the betterment of one body, not for the betterment of each other, of each other ones. And see, when we say these things, see, we become high-minded, and we actually think we're better than what we are. And see, it's good to do this right around the time that we were going over the issue with Israel. And when God gave them those five trials, and Israel said, all the things you've given unto me, we will do, because they thought they were better than what they were. They actually were very high-minded, assuming that they didn't need his Jehovah's grace and mercy. And see, when we assume God deals with one saint more favorably than he does with the other saints, that's dangerous. And see, we look at it like we have to understand, the only way we get this understanding is we have to understand that God's word can do all those things for us when we read, when we consider these things. In the eyes of our understanding, we'll be enlightened concerning what we're studying and what we've been taught. Now, let's look at the first one. Let's look at one here. When someone says, God gave me, you know, I've heard people say that before. Yeah, God gave me to say this, or God told me this, or I said to God and God said this to me, you know, or God put on my heart. Okay, now, again, if we're looking upon it in a sense of we're looking at the Bible and we're saying that, just say, for instance, I get angry about something. And then I say, well, you know, God told me never let the sun go down upon my wrath. Okay. And you're saying verses out of the Bible that God gave unto you through Scripture, then it's perfectly befitting. But if you're saying in the sense that you prayed to God and God answered you back audibly, then that would say that Adonai Jehovah, the possessor of heaven and earth, gave you a direct revelation. And see, that's not how his word works today. And I mean, that would mean that we could just keep our Bibles closed and we each would get a different gospel from him based upon, you know, what we want, what our goals are, what our worries and what our concerns are. And see, if we do that, we assume that he'll answer us based upon how faithful we are. And see, this would say that what the actual fact is that we would possess one of the spiritual gifts from God that he worked among the early church. That would mean you'd have the gift of knowledge. That would mean you would have a direct revelation from him. And do you know how dangerous that is for some to say that? Do you know, even back in the 1600s, when people said God spoke to them or God told them something, they were burned at the stake for saying that. That's considered blasphemy. When you look at what happened with the with Jesus Christ and the 12 and the apostles, the disciples, they were murdered. Not even that, the prophets were killed for saying something like that. And see, to show you how dangerous this is, just look at the religions of this world and the denominations that say that God, actually, when you look at that with the Muslims, for instance, Muhammad said that the angel Gabriel came and spoke to him. You have Joseph Smith with the Mormons. He says the angel Gabriel spoke to him over there in New York somewhere. And you look at the other religions and things of that nature. But you know what? At least those people didn't have the guts to say that God directly spoke to them. They said an angel spoke to them. But people today say, what God told me or God gave unto me. It, you know, when you look at how that sounds, we need to rethink what we say. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. And we're going to see how revelation is supposed to be, actually how the knowledge of God is supposed to be attained by us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, seeing this here, Paul got the direct revelation. He's the one that got the actual God-breathed revelation, and then he took it and he wrote it down. And when he wrote it down, there were men that took that epistle and they brought it to the church or the churches. And when they brought it to the churches, these men were apostles because they were men sent from God. And when they brought it to the churches, the ones that stood up and read that were the prophets because they were the mouthpiece of God. And that's how this worked with the apostles and prophets, and it came by the Spirit, the Word of God. That's how it's revealed. But how we get it today, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. That's how we get the understanding, by reading God's Word. And we have to understand something also with all this. People say that God spoke to them or gave them something. You know, God, 400 years did not speak to his beloved nation for 400 years. And today, man thinks that God spoke to them. And you know, actually, people say that if you put them on the spot, they actually know that God actually did not speak to them. I mean, when it really boils down to it, because if I thought myself that God from heaven spoke to me, I'm going to make sure that's something the whole world should want to know. And it should be something that concerns his plan, his purpose, his goals, his will, not mine. But people will say that God told them something based upon their will, their goals, and things of that nature. And that's not the way God works today. He works in perfection. He's not going to tell one man something, and that one man is only going to tell 10 people, or one person, or just as only his congregation. That's not how his word works. His word works whereas he hasn't spoken to a man in 2,000 years. And you know how you know that? Because no one has enough guts to, on the back of Revelation, just start their own book. Just start their own book and say the gospel of Jerry or the gospel of Susan or whoever else, and just start their own verses, chapter 1, and keep on going. Now come over to 2 Timothy. Come over to 2 Timothy. And let's look at chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I'm not going to read down. I'm just going to read that one verse at hand there. And what Paul said, that's how we get knowledge of God. We consider, like Paul said, consider what I say. That's how you can get understanding all things, and all things that concern God's will for us today. You know, we're not going to know what the everlasting gospel is preached, what's being preached over there, the revelations and other things of that matter. But when it comes to the things that God wants us to know, when we consider what Paul says, reading our Bible, which is in our Bibles, that's how you can get understanding all things. Not waiting on God to give you a divine revelation or something like that, because that's not going to happen there. We're going to look at another one. And we're going to look at one, and first some people say, as the Holy Spirit guides us. Let's do this. We're going to do this as the Holy Spirit guides us. And that's one I've heard there also. And with that, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 9 here. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'm going to make sure I get there myself. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Paul says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raises up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now I'm going to stop there. That Spirit is the Word of God. Can you see the flesh? Can you see the Word of God? And this is, and what's being said here is, it's showing the saint how he ought to be led by the Spirit, and how he ought to have that capital S Spirit of God, the Word of God, dwelling within him. Verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit," that's the Word of God, "do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." This is the way how we're led by the Spirit, or how we're guided by the Spirit, is with God's Word. And that's in our daily activities, in our daily lives, our sanctified lives. That's how we're supposed to live our sanctified lives properly. We're supposed to live them based upon what God's Word says to us as an adult son. And then we, as an adult son and daughter in Christ, we're supposed to say things and do things based upon what his Word says. You know, and what his Word wouldn't say to us is that, again, that God is speaking to us, or that God is putting something on our heart. That's not the way his Word says that we gain knowledge. If that's the case, we can just save money. You don't have to go buy a Bible. You just walk faithfully enough, or however you think you get his Word, and ask and ask and ask. But that's not how God said he'd edify us. The last man God talked to was the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago. And if we have time at the end of the study, we're going to go through the verses that show that. He didn't talk to someone in New York in 1881 over there, it's called Joseph Smith or Muhammad over in Mecca or anyone else of this time. The only way he's talking to us is through his Word. Now let's come over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 15. Paul says, "Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And again, filled with the Spirit is being filled with God's Word, with his doctrine, what he has taught us, and how the Holy Spirit teaches us, how the Word of God teaches us. And no man today is getting any other revelation from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that is outside of his Word. And what we see over there in Timothy, when it talks about the Spirit speaketh expressly, that speaketh, that's an ongoing thing. And it's done with the Word, with the Bible. When you turn the pages and you look and you read it, that's how it speaks expressly. And another one I've seen, when some say, We're going to ask the Spirit for enlightenment, to be enlightened. We're going to, I've heard that being said before. And again, what I'm saying now, this is not something to, like Paul says, to shame you or shame the saints and things of that nature, but it's to warn saints. It's to warn my fellow brothers and sisters in the body to some of the things that have been said that we've picked up from the other denominations that we belong to. We've picked them up from people at the grocery store. We've picked them up from our family, our neighbors. But these things are not the way the Spirit teaches us. These are not things that God's Word teaches us. And actually, these things can be ungodly because when others pick them up, it teaches them to think that God's preferring them over other saints. It makes you think that if you're traveling and you make it home safe, that God guided you on your trip. What about the saints that died, that died and didn't make it? He's preferring them or you over them, or maybe he just called them home and because it was their time was up and he just wanted them to be with them in heavenly places. That's not the way God works. God doesn't work in that way. But let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at this issue here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to see how the Spirit reveals things onto us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And, you know, again, this is something that when I hear people say these things, it's like someone on a chalkboard and they're scratching down the chalkboard. And because of godly patience or my inability to say something, which I'm wrong at doing that, because it's my job, again, as I said at the outset, to use the Bible for doctrine, reproof, correction, exhortation. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, how God revealed them unto us is by the Word, by the Spirit. The Spirit spoke through men, and men wrote it down. And when they wrote down the words of the Bible, we have in our Bible, you see the Spirit being put on display. And that's how the Spirit searcheth all things. It searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, by what his Word says. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, and I'm going to stop because we all have, when we were in this world, and we can be justified, sanctified, but we still can receive some things of this world, which we ought not to, the spirit of this world. We live amongst it. But this is what Paul is saying. God wouldn't have you to receive the spirit of this world. Let me pick it back up here, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now how do we know this? How do we know the things that are freely given unto us? Do we wait and hear someone come out of church on Sunday and tell us God is good and tell us what God is doing in their life as far as giving them things? Or based upon these gospel songs they sing that say what God is providing them in an earthly way? And which is another thing, they'll know all those songs. They'll know all the words to each song. They'll know all the verse by verse. Every song, they don't even have to look at the book, but they don't know a verse of God's word. They don't know a chapter of God's word. But how we get God's word, how we get to his wisdom, is by we look at what he has revealed to us by the Spirit. And it's going to say that here in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. And you know what that is there, when it says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, the things that I've said at the outset, from the outset until now, I'd be looked upon like a fool if I said this to someone that calls himself an apostle or a prophet or someone that says that God is God brought them back to life or God healed them or he financially prospers them. I'd be looked upon as a fool because the natural man, he can't receive that. And it's going to be foolishness unto him. But when you see here, it says, but verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all the things, yet he himself is judge of no man. See, we learn how to judge God's word when you see something come up in your life. Or if when I hear things, I know how to judge that, whether that's, I judge it by God's word. If someone says, well, you know, there's a man in Australia, and he's saying that he's bringing people back from the dead. I'm already going to know, based upon God's word, judging that what I heard, that that's not the case. It's impossible for that to happen. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and that's what we ought to have. And again, how do we get understanding of God's word? We must be taught from milk to meat the doctrine the way God designed. And again, I said we must be taught. It's the only way we're going to learn. Whether we're taught, whether we are learning from someone, or if we're reading ourselves. That's how we study to show ourselves approved. Come over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and all and the things that thou hast heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's how God designed his word to be learned. That's how God designed his word to get out. Not that he go talk to some man in a prayer closet or he talks to someone wherever. One man is going to tell one or two people. He wants other men to teach other men, to teach other men, and so on and so on. Let's go over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Let's look at verse 7. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. And this talks about the qualifications for an overseer, a bishop, a pastor, a teacher. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Again, you see this here, taught. There's a teaching concept here. Let's come over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And let's get verse 4. Colossians 2, verse 4. Paul says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh. And I'm going to stop there. You notice he says enticing words, words that's going to entice you, words that cater to your flesh. And that's what happens here. The things people say, They sound good. They sound so good. Other people say it. Other people pick it up, and they say these cliches and things of that nature also. I'll pick it back up here. Lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfast of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And there's many things that we do, we find ourselves buying into, with all the days and all the things that this world has given to us to cater to our flesh. But whatever we do, we have to stick by what God's word says to us. Now let's just go to the next one here. Like I said before, some say we're going to do this as the Spirit gives us utterance. Some people will say, well, you know, I witnessed to this person over here, and the Holy Spirit must see how the Holy Spirit works, see how God works. I was able to talk to this person here based upon that. You know, and in that sense there, of course, that would be looked upon as a great situation when we're able to witness to people. When we're able to witness unto people, sure, it's a marvelous thing. But God himself had nothing to do with that other than your word, his word working through you, working effectually within you. Because if God was working that way, what about the ones that's lost and going to hell? And some people say, well, maybe God knew their heart. Maybe God knew that they wouldn't hear it. No, but God would love for you to have witness to that person, though. God would have loved for you to present that gospel unto them. And as far as knowing one's heart, God knows the heart of the saint. He searches the hearts of the saint, not the sinner. So again, when we take God's word, when we speak to someone, it's not that God led us to that person. It's you as a saint applying yourself as a son that wants to make sure that you minister and you witness unto people every day. That should be something that you think of when you wake up every day, that you witness to a saint, to the unsaved, and get people established, knowing what time we're in. Come over to First Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at a couple of these here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look at verse 3. Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. And the utterance issue, what that deals with, you doing as I said about earlier, just not too long ago, about you speaking God's word. Let your speech be seasoned with salt and things of that nature. Let's look at that. Come on, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to get also Colossians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at that first. And let's look at verse 17. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, looking at this, when you see this here, Paul is saying here, telling the saints how to do. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, and how we ought to pray. And that also for Paul, when Paul said that the saints pray for him also, that he may open his mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. See, there's a difference here. When you're looking at what Paul is saying here, When Paul said, told the saints to pray for him and things of that nature, it wasn't that Paul had a safe journey or that Paul does do what's being said here. What Paul wants that supplication to be done, and that's what we ought to do. When we pray for other saints, you know, and I do it all the time. I do it on a constant basis. And because there are things that the saints, the body of Christ, need. And my prayer and heart's desire is that they all be strengthened, that they all know God's word and his will. And when Paul is saying that this prayer here about that him making known the mystery of the gospel, he wants that to be their heart's desire also. That's what they should long after. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God will open the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speak always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how you ought to answer every man. And again, Paul is saying, you know, he's saying continue in prayer, with all praying for us, that God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. You know, when Paul is saying this, Paul is in prison here. And Paul is going through things like being beaten and things of that nature. And when Paul is saying pray, again, this is another prayer, that this happens, that he's able to speak the mystery. He's able to edify the other saints. That even themselves, when Paul is edifying, when Paul is making known these things, these saints partake of that. When Paul is making known the gospel and to preach it and make known the mystery of the gospel, like he said in Ephesians 6 and over here in Colossians chapter 4, they benefit from this. So, of course, that should be their heart's desire. And that doesn't work that way today. Let's look at another one. When some says about us having traveling grace, that we have a safe trip when we travel. And again, this would be a high-minded way of thinking. It would be a high-minded way of thinking because we would think that we deserve something that other people don't get, other saints don't get. Not to mention, even the unsaved have safe trips. And why would that be on God's shopping list of things to want to do among the saints to make sure they have safe trips? Look at what Paul went through. Paul didn't have safe. Paul went through shipwrecks and things and beaten and all these different things. Paul didn't have a safe journey all the time. And let's look at that. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Paul says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Aquileum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and then they shall, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming unto you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. And again, you see Paul, what opposition Paul faced. And when Paul says he'd been much hindered from coming onto them, that doesn't mean he just couldn't get a boat there. They were all booked up or something like that. Or maybe he was sick or something. That what that means is that hindering was opposition. it was evil men. And see, to think that God watches over us when we travel, that would mean the other saints that died on the road, they must have fell out of favor with God. Maybe they, again, like I said, maybe God just called them home as if his will was to bring them to heaven at that particular time. And that's not the case. While you're in Romans chapter 15, come down and look at verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, they strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now when he says by the will of God, Paul is saying he's going to come to them, but he's asking for the saints to pray, that the prayers be that Paul is delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Because again, this benefits them also. If we had partial knowledge at this time, we would also pray for Paul to get more knowledge onto us. We would also pray for this situation to be. See, Paul looked upon the things he faced. Paul gloried in his sufferings. Paul knew, even though he was going through things over in 2 Corinthians, he gave a long list of things that he went through. And that's early in his ministry. Can you imagine the things he went through by the time he got to Rome? We only see a fraction of that stuff. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to look at this real quick, and I want to do one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5, and we're going to stay here dealing with another issue. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5, now I will come unto you that I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. You know, I've heard people even say that there. Yeah, I'll make it there if the Lord willing, or if the Lord permit, or, again, the Lord willing would lead people to think that if it's the Lord's will, we're going to make it to where we have to go. Or I'll see you in 2 days if the Lord willing. That, in other words, if it's the Lord's will is to keep you here, you will see this person or you'll get your objective over. And again, that's not bad to say if a person is saying it in a sense of, well, if God suspends his grace long enough, then I'll see you. If it's his will to suspend his grace, which is for all mankind, which is for the whole body of Christ as a whole, not just concerning you, that it'll be God's will to not take you out of here or to not say you won't die until then or whatever. That wouldn't be surrounding God's will unless the rapture was to come. Now let's look at the last one here. One more. I've heard say, give as God has prospered you. Give as the Lord has prospered you. And while we're in 1 Corinthians, let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's look at verse 1. And let's see why people say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them shall I intend to bring your libertalia onto Jerusalem. Now, as when you look at verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, when people say this, you see where they get it from here. But that's not understanding what God means by this. Now, hold your place there, and let's come over to Romans chapter 15. Again, hold your place there. Romans chapter 15, let's go to verse 25. And we'll see what this means here. Verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for that pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, that's justification, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, and that's money, financial, or it could be food, it could be whatever. Verse 28, when therefore I have performed this, I have sealed to them this fruit. I will come to you by Spain. Okay, well, Paul is saying, hey, Gentiles, you know over there in Acts chapter 8, it talked about a great dearth. You know, they sold all they had. Those saints in Jerusalem sold all their possessions. And there was a great dearth among them. They were financially in ruins. The kingdom did not come in. So when you look over in Galatians chapter 2, when Paul shook hands with Peter, James, John, he said that only that we should remember the poor. He gave them a right hand to fellowship, that they go on to the heathen and they go on to the circumcision, and also that Paul should remember the poor. Paul gave his word. So when you come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and you look at verse 2, when it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, what he's saying is, just as God has prospered you spiritually, you ought to lay up in store and give also for those poor saints in Jerusalem. This is the same thing he's talking about here. But that's not what we tell the saints today. We don't tell the saints that today because that's making some that are babes, that's making them think that you're preaching a prosperity message. And you are. You're saying that there are, when you say as God has prospered, that's to say that there's a financial level there you could reach. Well, God prospered me. Well, God didn't. I give $5, he gave 50. Oh, God must be partial. God must be prospering this saint more than me. God must be showing more favoritism. And see, that would be slandering the grace of God if we think that way. God does not work on a financial basis. He's not prospering the saints financially, carnally. But because we've been prospered with the doctrine, with justification and the Bible, and we're given richly these things, the riches of his grace, we ought to give to others. And that's what's being said here, in a carnal sense. But I'm going to stop here. I went over a little bit, but next week I want to go over some of the other things, some of the other cliches I've heard people say, like, have a blessed day. What is, God bless you. The issue about when ones are sick and praying, when people ask you to pray for him. Well, what do you mean? Do you mean that they pray that they're justified? Pray that if they are justified, that they can be strengthened by his word? Or do you mean pray that they become healthy? Pray that they don't die? Well, these things we're going to look at next week and others. But I'm going to close here for now, and I'm going to open things up for Q&A. And again, if you have any questions, comments, please feel free to leave a ask a question, you can press star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And again, this study is not to shame anyone again. It's not to talk down on anyone. But what it is to do, it is to, like Paul said, to warn us, because there's danger there. There's danger to ones that are not fully mature saints. And if we say these things in that sense, but we really don't mean it this way, it can be harmful and damaging to some. All we have to do is look at the world and we can see that. I'm going to go to the first caller here. 431, you're in the queue. 4391, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How are we doing?
How are you
guys doing?
We're doing great.
Thank you.
I was thinking about when you were talking about prayer, like when you pray for someone, basically I pray that people come into the full knowledge of the truth through rightly dividing God's word and truth, one through fighting, and then God will choose them into the right, you know, into Romans through violent false teaching to Gentiles. That's my prayer. I know I can't pray. Well, I know the only prayer I can pray is that prayer for them.
There's nothing wrong with praying that prayer. That's your heart's desire, and that is that's something that we can pray and ask of God that He knows our heart's desire, that we do pray that they come into this light.
Right. So it's not much other prayer we can pray for them.
Well, no. I mean, we could pray also that they become justified, that they that they get to know God's word and not man's word and stay in this world here.
Right.
You know?
Right. So basically, that's what my prayer is for everybody. If God had mercy on me and brought me into the full knowledge of the truth, He no respect to person. So basically,
No. You
have to pray for another that the Lord will bring them into the full knowledge of the truth, rightly dividing the word of truth, Romans 2:5, and Paul's teaching to the Gentiles, and trusting what Jesus did on the cross.
Right. And you know, and how. Right, exactly. And how Paul and how God would bring people onto the knowledge would be by them hearing the gospel. By them hearing the gospel. And I talked to this guy, he called himself an apostle, you know, and he said, well, you know, God brought me, I used to be on crack, and God brought me out of that crack house. God, he led me out of the crack house, and now I'm preaching his word. And I explained to him that was an outright lie. God did not bring him, literally guide him out there. I said, you're not that special that he will guide you out of that house. You. What about the others in there? Why not them? Why you? Why in that only that one crack house, wherever you were, why did he pick you out of the millions that are in crack houses all over this world? We have to think about what we say. On top of it, he's not even justified. Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
And many are called, but few are chosen.
That's right. That's right. But we are We are all called. We all have a calling. Every man, woman, child has a calling of God. But as far as the choosing and chosen, it's up to us to hear and accept the word. And, you know, God's not actually choosing this one here and choosing that one there. You're considered chosen because you've accepted that doctrine. And that's the idea of the predestination. You've been predestinated. You've been called. You've been glorified. You've been justified. Those things over there in Romans chapter 8. That's the that's what it means
that's
to be.
That's the choice that we make once we're saved, to walk in the word and believe the word and obey
exactly
the word.
Exactly, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Sister Teresa,
yes, sir. Just a quick comment. How you doing, Pastor Timothy? I'm sorry, Pastor Ron. How you doing?
Hey, yes. we're all one in the Lord. So you can call me. I'm actually quite they say, honored by that.
Okay.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Well, excellent. Good teaching and teaching of you all. I just know what she was saying. I mean, I just 2 Timothy 2:4 where it said, you know, preach the gospel. That's how I became saved. Somebody preached the gospel to me. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:15. And, you know, it's in prayer. Paul don't say too much about prayer, but we as an ambassador for Christ, we have a message to proclaim. The main thing is to preach the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18, by preaching the cross to the unsaved. It's the gospel
That's
of good
right.
news. And it's how
That's
he
right.
died and rose again and died for all our sins. We preach that to them first, and then God will do the rest.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what we have to do. And, you know, there are people, and there's a brother that brought me into the doctrine, and all he does is he when he leaves out in the morning, he goes and he takes some gospel tracts with him. He gives them to people.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to them. And not only does he get them justified, but he follows up with them, and he establishes them. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to do that. We ought to do that on a consistent basis, because even if we're just sharing the gospel of grace, the gospel of God, even if we're just sharing justification at the moment,
right?
But we ought to do we ought to do that on a daily basis.
Every day, that's right. Thank you, and I appreciate your teaching and everything, and you and your family and everything. God bless.
Thank you, Sister Teresa. Thank you, Sister Janice. Appreciate both of you.
Thank you.
Okay. And again, if anyone has any comments or questions, feel free to press *61. That will get you into the queue. And next week, again, we're going to go over some of the other things that I've heard, some of the other cliches that I've heard. And you know, if we're ones that said these things ourselves or thought these things ourselves, you know, that's why I said this is a sonship, actual sanctification checkpoint. To see where we are, to see if maybe we're ones that said these things here. We'll go to the next caller here. 6864. You're in the queue. 6864.
Wonderful message, Pastor Ron.
Oh, thank you very much.
This is Sister Rhodes.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Rhodes?
Pretty good. How about you?
Great.
I know
great.
You're doing
great.
Well. I am confused by something. A lot
okay.
of people base their a great part of their ministry on what God told them to do. God told me to start
mm-hmm.
this ministry. God told me to do this and that. And that always puzzled me, that they would say that God spoke to them and told them what to do. Not based on what the word said, but what God spoke to them and told them. That always puzzled me. Another thing is people just pray at the drop of a hat. They start praying for people. And I had to learn better than that, because I used to do the same thing. I used to just pray for people, you know, pray that they got a car, pray that they got a job, pray that they pray.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm learning better, so I really appreciate your message tonight. You're really giving some good information on, you know, this what the Bible. We have to stick to what the Bible says, and not
thank you,
and not go out on our own. Some people go around praying for people, laying hands, anointing them with oil, and all those things. I guess they never think, is this right?
Right.
You know, I just wondered about that. That's just. But you, this is such a timely message.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Next week I'm going to talk about the issue of the blessing type thing and about with the health, wealth, the relationship, cars, jobs. You know, why does one saint make $200,000 a year, another saint make $50,000? Why does another saint not have a job?
Right.
These are, you know, and why would one saint be led to preach and have a ministry, but another saint, This isn't the case. He's just one that sits in the pew. You know, he's not one that was led to preach. Why is that? And we're taught that you're supposed to have a desire to teach. It's not God leading you to the ministry. It's the man having a desire. He has to meet certain qualifications. He ought to. He can't be a novice, which means he can't be unlearned. So he has to be taught so he can teach others. God's not leading men to the ministry. He has a calling, meaning he has, it's there for all to, he wants you to do it. He wants us to teach others, to teach others, to teach others. And when you do that, you're a threat to Satan because you're propagating this message. And you're teaching others not to be led by this world and what they're saying. And to teach that God has led you to the mystery would actually be ungodly because that's not how God's working today.
So
but join me again. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was listening to what you were saying. But there are so many people up teaching and saying things that you wonder what's going on. I know it's because they don't understand the Bible. They didn't learn the scriptures. They just got up and started talking.
Mm-hmm.
But what
that's
they
right.
heard from others, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah, it's the spirit of this world. It's the spirit of this world is what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's what man's wisdom teach. And man's wisdom will tell you that God is doing things, and it sounds good. It sounds good that for people to say God is healing or God's leading men to the ministry or God is working things or blessing you and things of that nature physically. That right there is something that sounds good, but that's what man's wisdom teaches. That's not what the Spirit teaches. But we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we ought to possess.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good message. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Again, *61 to get you into the queue. And again, next week we're going to go over that issue about the blessings and things of that nature, or you know, that people say that we have today, and a couple other issues. And another issue, once one say, by God's grace, by the grace of God, this happened, or this is going to happen, and things of that nature. We'll see if that's the way God's grace is designed to work. Is that the way His grace is designed to work? To be there for you, to pull you out of a jam or see you through and things of that nature? And that's what we're going to talk. We're going to talk about those issues and many more in our second part of the sanctification checkpoint. But again, what I'm going to do is we're going to close here. And